We're in a series on mercy, but I had a message for that, and since driving here, so you know, if you want to hear that message, come last night and hear it. This is probably about as close as I'll ever get to saying, "Thus saith the Lord." It's a simple message, but it needs a bit of preamble. And it explains some things about what's going on in this church. And the reason I get so undone is because it just gives me such a great fear before the Lord to think that the words coming out of my mouth might be from Him. But I have no other way to deal with it except to go where I believe the Lord is saying me to go and to say what He is saying. A few weeks ago, Robin gave a message. I can't remember the title. I can't remember the message. I enjoyed it. But toward the end of that message, I'm going to liken it to listening to something but being half asleep. And then she said she's had this word on her heart that she has not been able to let go of. And when it came out of her mouth, it's like the Holy Spirit quickened me and woke me up. And she said, "Come." That was her word. "Come, you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to Jesus. Come, you who are hungry and thirsty, come." It was a word that had been stirring in her heart and she just could not let go of it, but she feels this cry in her heart to tell people to come. It wasn't just that word was stirring me, but it's actually caused me to bring to mind something the Lord had spoken to me about 5 years ago, and it happened on the 19th of February 2020. And I remember at the time thinking, I don't know what to do with this. It was a few weeks later that he said it again. And I remember talking to Mike and Pete one night about this. And I'm thinking, this is what the Lord has said. But to be honest, I don't know what to do. It's just, this is what he's spoken. But, you know, where does this land? And yet, when Robin spoke that word, here it comes again. And in that time, it's like the Lord has been working in my life to purify and sanctify me. He has been ministering to me in the way that it's outlined in Isaiah 61, binding up the broken heart in me, getting me free of the things that have held me captive and out of the prison of the things that I have been guilty of in my life that have still remained in my soul that I had not yet brought to the Lord. And so here I am now, nearly 5 years on, and this word has just come to life again, and I'm on my way in the car. And he's like, "You need to put that message aside because I have a message for the church." And this is what he said to me those 5 years ago. He talked to me about a river that was going to flow that would cause division, a separation of peoples. There's other things that I won't share with you right now. But he said things about what he was going to do in me to prepare me for this time. And then he said, "I am with you." And I said, "How will I know? What will I see? What will I say?" And he says, "Tell them, I am coming. You will see, you will know, you will proclaim." Like the watchman on the tower who looks out and sees the approaching army on the horizon, you too will cry out, "For I am the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven, I am coming." And that is the message to the church, that the Lord is going to return. He is coming. Amen. And suddenly I realized, why is this mercy movement so important? If you look back at the prophets, you see the God working in mercy. What does he say through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 7? They are on the verge of being taken into captivity because of their sin and their hardened hearts and their unwillingness to repent. He says, the Lord comes to Jeremiah and he says, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. Say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of God, the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." What he's saying is, just because you have the temple, don't think that makes you comfortable. It's like, just because you're a Christian, don't get complacent with your walk as if sin is of no account. Bring your sin before the Lord. confess it, for I truly, if you truly amend your ways and deeds, if you truly execute justice to one another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after the other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place. This is a word to Israel back then, a word of mercy to call a people who had gone off track to come back to the Lord, lest they come under judgment. He says in Ezekiel, a similar message. Ezekiel is a prophet of the same era. He says this, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the message of the Lord to Israel before the calamity that came upon them. Joel again, chapter 2, a very similar theme. I don't know if you're seeing it. Here we go again. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. This call goes out to a people who had gone wayward, off track, steeped in sin. And God is showing mercy by sending forth his prophets to declare the message that repent, return to me. I am the Lord your God. Come to me and you will live. Revelation, we go there and we see the same thing again, the call to the church. I'm sure this is something that you guys are very familiar with, many of you. To Pergamum, therefore repent, if you do not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. To Thyatira, I give her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works, and I will strike her children dead. To the church in Sardis, remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. To Laodicea, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I love the Lord because he is merciful, because he is gracious. I love Psalms like 103 where he says that the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Here's the thing I particularly love. He will not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. The humble of heart, and like the Lord does not deal with us according to the ways of the world. He does not deal with us according to our sin. He deals with us according to our mercy. But mercy does have a time limit. At some point, the mercy of God, the message of God falls on deaf ears and they continue in their sin, which causes utter harm and destruction to them and the people around them. And if you're not been tuning into what's going on in the world, it's evident for all to see just how far the depths of sin have progressed into the highest realms of the nations. And to the lowest of the low, how it ravages, destroys, tears apart lives. And those who remain proud, who will not repent, the only thing that is left for them is judgment. And on the other side, there is a people hurting and crying out and hungry, trying to satisfy themselves with all sorts of things. Isaiah says, you who are hungry, come to me. Come eat, drink without price. Why do you spend your money on that which is not bread? And why do you pursue these things that will not satisfy? Listen to me. What's the message? I will not entreat you according to your sins, but if you repent, if you come to me, if you turn from your ways, he says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God who will abundantly pardon. And then he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Why does the Lord say that? It's because he does not entreat us according to our iniquity and sin. He entreats us according to his compassion and mercy and kindness and desire to redeem a people that are lost. Luke 19, verse 10 says that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That is the mission. And the Lord is stirring in his church to realize, if you have brokenness in your life, if you are struggling, come to me. Seek him out while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. It's because there is a time limit. The Lord says he is coming. And there will be a day and a time where he will come and he will return, not to deal with sin, but to gather in those who eagerly await him, which the corollary to that is everyone else will stand before him in judgment. The Lord is coming. You can understand why it causes me to tremble. It disturbs me. It's just undoing me. And yet the reason I'm convicted about this is because my words don't have any effect on me in the way his does. Other people's words don't cut to the heart in the way that he does. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is alive and active, dividing spirit, soul, and body, penetrating to the deepest parts of our nature, sifting, analyzing, and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. If that doesn't cause you to tremble, I don't know what does, because he says we must all stand before him to whom we must give an account. And here's the great hope. He says, but we have a great high priest who has been tempted in every way, but has never sinned. And because of the shed blood of Jesus, he says, you can boldly come into the throne room of God and receive mercy and grace in your time of need. Yes, praise God. Every morning I get up and I come into his presence and I say, Lord, I have need for you in this day. And he meets me and he gives me strength. He convicts me of sin like a father disciplines a child. He does not chastise me or punish me or reject me in the process. He always does it because he has a life that he wants to put into me. He wants to draw me closer. He wants to make me whole. Why is that? Because he has a mission for us on this earth to go out and proclaim the good news and bear witness to him, because Jesus is coming. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I can no more convict anyone than I can convict myself, my own words, but Lord, may your word go forth in this place and may it stir in the hearts of your believers, and may it just tumble around in their spirit, and may it cause us to look up and turn our hearts to you in ways that we have not before, to let go again of the things that we've taken hold of in this world, to set our eyes upon you and start looking for the people that are before us that you are desiring to reach, that you are desiring to speak to, that you are desiring would hear the good news of Jesus Christ and his saving message. Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy on this nation. Have mercy on the people that we see every day. May you inspire us and give us courage to know that you will put the words that we need in our mouths and on our hearts as we meet these people and encounter them, and give us courage to actually declare the good news of Jesus Christ. We look to you, Lord, for your power, your guidance, your mercy, and your ministry to us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.